This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Welcome to the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. I'm your host, Nate Thomas. Got an awesome show today. For you turkey freaks out there, I would guess you're going to know who this guy is. We have Jeff Buds on, who is, many know around the country as the guy that's got the most Grand Slams ever. We talk about how many he's got in the show, kind of where he likes to hunt, the different birds he's hunted. Just all kinds of stuff. Even at the end, kind of talk about a tournament, I guess you'd call it, or a competition that he started this year, and then a little bit of hunting advice at the end. So this is kind of more of a hunter profile of Jeff and his background and kind of where he came from and, you know, how he got to where he is now. So really good show. Appreciate want to thank Jeff for coming on. If you are listening on podcast world, you're just going to have to envision it. But if you're watching on YouTube, Jeff kind of shows his 4 biggest birds that he's ever killed. And they're really cool. So if you want to go on YouTube and check it out, that's Jeff's backdrop the entire time. So want to thank Jeff for coming on. It was a very interesting listening to, you know, the way, I don't know, he just is very passionate about turkey hunting, and it's cool to see. Let's do some sponsors before we get in. Let's start with Morel Targets. It is end of April at this point, so if you're not out shooting, you should be, whether you're out hunting turkeys with a bow or not, but you should be shooting. So check out those Morel Targets. That big roller is probably my favorite one. I've got a bunch of different Morel Targets, but that one seems to get shot all the time. Athlon Optics use them for turkey. You know, they got shotgun sights. I don't have any because I don't mess with it. But if I ever get into hunting turkeys, I might do it. I do have a shotgun set up for my coyotes, and maybe I'll get a sight at some point. Right now, I'm just using the open beads, but check out Athlon, Midwest Gunworks, MidwestGunworks.com, Benelli Servicer. They've got all kinds of shotgun parts and ammo, and you name it, they've got it. Lucky Buck Mineral. If you are not, you need to have that mineral out, whether you're using Lucky Buck or not. We like Lucky Buck. It smells amazing. The deer definitely love it. I've got one farm. I still have not put it out yet, so I need to go do some of that really quickly. But, yeah, check Lucky Buck out. They make an awesome product, and it's, you know, it comes in a bucket already. If you go to the feed store or whatever, not the feed store, but the store you buy it at, and it ain't expensive, and it's already, you know, mixed up. We used to mix our own, and it just got to be a pain in the ass. So Lucky Buck has been great for us. On X, use our code MWW20 for 20% off. Got to go to the website, check them out. You know, this would be a time, turkey hunting wise, using stuff like that is going to pay off for you. Especially like with, you know, the 3D exaggeration. If you're trying to get around a turkey and you want to make sure that you're going to be a below him or above him, that can help you out. Black Ovis, use our code MWW10 for 10% off. That's on anything on the website, including sale items, except for optics, I think. I'll have to check with our guy on that one. I always forget. But check Black Ovis out. They've got all kinds of awesome product. Whether it's Black Ovis brand themselves or other companies, they only sell stuff that they like and that they would use. So Black Ovis has got some really cool products out there. And then their sister company, Camo Fire. Download the Camo Fire app, which is what I would do. And then every day that app's got new deals. And it's usually topical to what is going on this time of year. So, you know, more deer stuff. Right now it's probably more turkey stuff going on, spring stuff, things like that. So check out Camo Fire. Jason Patterson's land team with Whitetail Properties. Give Jason a call at 816-824-6282 or shoot him an email, jason.patterson@whitetailproperties.com. If you're not following him on social media, I would do that on Instagram or Facebook, Jason Patterson Land Team. He's always posting what he's got for sale or auction, and that, you know, is always nice. He'll send me text about what he has got coming down the pipe or whatever, but that's a great way to kind of keep up with what they've got coming is following them on social media because they do a good job there. And then last but not least, Reveal Cameras by Tacticam. I don't really have much to say right now about them. I've been cleaning them up. Like I said, I got them put to bed, and they'll sit for another couple months before I pop them out. And you know, that first time you sit cameras out in the summer is maybe about my favorite time of the year. Almost more fun than that first hunt, because it's like all the different possibilities that are out there. Like 2 years ago, when Micah and I had Baraka show up for the first time, it was like, holy hell, look at this deer. And, you know, every year you have that, like that first, hey, who is this going to be? And I can't wait for that, honestly. July is one of my favorite times because of that. So check out Reveal Cameras by Tacticam. Check out their new 3.0 cameras and all the different accessories they've got and stuff like that. So that's it. Let's get into our show with Jason or Jeff Buds with... What did I call him? The Slam Man. So Jeff is a wealth of knowledge, and I'm excited to let y'all listen to this one. This is the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. All right, we have got the guy who has been called many names, by the way, but I'm going to call you the Slam Man. The greatest turkey hunter alive, Jeff Buds. Is that a good enough introduction? Does that work?
That's perfect. I love that.
We've got Jeff Buds on the show, and you know, if anybody has paid attention to turkey hunting in their life, they probably have heard of this gentleman. Jeff Buds is you know, a world known turkey hunter. He's also a guide, takes folks hunting. So Jeff, I appreciate you coming on the show and talking some turkey hunting.
Great to be here. Thank you.
So I always like to, you know, this is kind of one of those hunter profiles that I like to do. You know, I don't know Jeff other than, you know, the couple minutes that we've been talking before this. And so I like to get to know him, and I like the listener to get to know, you know, the person. So let's just start off with, you know, who you are, where you're from, and then we'll talk about how you got into becoming this addicted turkey hunter like you are.
Gotcha. So born and raised in Central Illinois, lived in Colorado for 10 years, and I've been down to in Florida for just over 20 years now, land of Osceola. I'm so ate up with it, I had to move down here so that I'd have them literally in my backyard.
Nice. That's awesome. So I read on an article, I was kind of, you know, doing some homework about our show today, and I read an article that you didn't start turkey hunting until you were in college. Is that right?
Yeah. I didn't start hunting until I was in college.
So you and I are the same. I didn't start hunting until I was in college either. What happened? What got you into hunting when you were in college?
I bellied up at a bar and met a now best buddy who was in grad school. So he was 4 years older than me, and said something about hunting. And I said, I'd love to go. And he said, well, let's go. It was early fall, and we went duck and pheasant and quail. Southern Illinois University, so the hub back then, a lot's changed with the flyways now, but that used to be Mecca in the country for the goose capital of the U.S., of course. And anyway, we tore it up, deer and all kinds of stuff. And I was like, oh my gosh, I found my purpose. And then he said, put in for a spring turkey tag. So I did. And we went out April 1st, 1989. It'll date me. And he called in two screaming Jakes, and they strutted, gobbled, and I was beside myself, and I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. I mean, I knew right then that there is something here that will be a part of me forever. Now, that being said, I couldn't dream, nor you, I bet you, when you started in college to flash forward and say what we'd be doing now and making a living at it or having it be so entrenched and entwined in our lives. I always say if the turkeys ever found a time machine, they'd go back to 1988 and kill Jeff Buds. That's for sure. Because I tell everybody, you know, I don't get paid to hunt. I get paid to kill. And I don't mean that as a joke, and I don't take it lightly, but you know, people seek certain things, and as long as it's legal, I'm all over it. And when they do contact me, I take it personal, because when I don't do this as a profession, I do it for a passion. And of all the stuff, I mean, I've gotten so good professionally because I do it personally. And yeah. You know, now I waited late to get married, and now I've got a six-year-old who on opening day of Southern, he killed an Osceola. Opening day of Central, 2 weeks later, he killed his Eastern up by Tallahassee. And I've got a bonus daughter, 16. She's killed both of hers. And my wife has killed both of hers. And I've killed both my Eastern and Osceola. So the four of us, and just coincidentally, I have all the tags for them. And she said, we need to be a while back. We need to be together for Mother's Day. Well, I'm on the road in May. Mm-hmm. So it would have been much cheaper for me to fly back myself. So, but I'm flying the three of them out to Denver. I'll pick them up, and they'll go South Dakota, Miriam, and Kansas, Rio. So the four of us, I'll put a collage together at the end of it. And my wife is, of course, I've gotten a few Grand Slams, and my wife has gotten several. But for all four of us to do a single spring Grand Slam together and put a collage of a spring 2025 is just like, I mean, that's a hit for me. That gets my juices flowing.
Dude, so, that's awesome.
But I love it. I eat, sleep, and breathe it. And anyway, I love it.
So interestingly enough, when I was in college, I went on my first hunt ever, and it was a turkey hunt. My brother-in-law, who was not my brother-in-law at the time, he was just my girlfriend's brother, took me turkey hunting, and I had no idea. I never thought about hunting. I didn't know anything about anything about hunting in general. I just knew turkeys existed, deer existed, you know, that sort of stuff. And so he takes me on this turkey hunt, and we go to a river bottom farm. So there's quite a big, you know, elevation changes, and he takes me up and down in the dark, and we sit at the base of this tree, and first thing in the morning, the sun's starting to kind of pop up. We're starting to have a little bit of light, and I hear this gobble. And it felt like it went through my chest. And I went, "What's that?" And he goes, that's a turkey. And so he starts calling, and you can see it. It flies down off the roost about 200 yards away and then just starts coming across the field right to us. And something happened. I probably screwed up, but the turkey got to about 50 yards, got to the top of this hill, and then took off. So he probably saw us. I had no idea what happened. I was just some dumbass, you know, 20-year-old that went turkey hunting with my brother-in-law. And that got me hooked into hunting. Now, like I said, I'm not a big turkey hunter, and our listeners know why. Don't really have them around. If I did, I probably would hunt them a little more. Plus, we're so ate up, like you and I talked about before, with coyote hunting, that it's kind of our break time during turkey season. But that was actually my first hunt ever, was a turkey hunt with my brother-in-law, Jeff. So I definitely understand it, you know. And you're one of those people that you talked about, you have a few grand slams. How many grand slams do you have? I think it's more than a few.
Yeah, it's a couple. So I got ate up, and I'm a working man, and my bucket list is not considered is not consumed by chasing a grand slam of sheep, because that nowadays is a $1 million ticket.
Right.
And I just knew something I could chase, and you know, with all the public ground and all the people I knew. So I 100 grand slams was on my bucket list, along with other stuff. So I got to 100 in 21. Gosh, it's a blur. I have an Excel spreadsheet for my Excel spreadsheet, because, you know, being questioned and just to document and keep track of everything. I think it's 117 is where I'm at.
Yeah. And of course, you've got, you know, haters. I call them haters or trolls or people online that would be like, "Oh, there's no way that's true. You're lying." Or, you know, "You must be poaching," or all this bullshit that, you know, comes out. How do you add that? Like, how does that number work? You know, because people say, "Oh, the math doesn't add up." Now, for me, yep, I don't see how it doesn't add up. But, you know, how do you successfully do that? Well, one of the things I know you've done, you've hunted turkeys in every single state in America that they exist in. There's only, what, 49 states they exist in? So, but, you know, how have you done that over the years?
Well, I got my first grand slam, my first turkey in 89. My seventh turkey was an Osceola in Bull Creek, which I live just south of right now, Bull Creek Wildlife Management Area. So that completed my first grand slam, but then I got a single spring slam in 94, and then went from there, and I got two in 95, two in 96. Well, by 99, the light bulb went off, and Dick Kirby, who's just an unbelievable person, human, unfortunately passed in 2009, I believe. He was ahead of me, because the NWTF keeps track of all the stuff. You could look in the back of the book. Now everything's all electronic. June, it came out, and I was like, "Oh," I was always behind him. I said, "I got it." And then second place, the view sucks, and I don't like that view. So I was like, "How can I do it? How can I get more?" Well, the light bulb went off, and then I realized you can get two Osceolas in the spring and two Osceolas in the fall. So a total. Now, if a guy wanted to hunt, he could kill, and I've never even tried to add it up, because it would be mind-blowing to add up all the Easterns, all the Miriams, and all the Rios that you could get in a calendar year. It'd be hundreds, right?
Right.
But the only thing you can do is two and two, so four Osceolas. So 99, I was the first one to get four grand slams in a calendar year, and then after that, so I did four grand slams. One year I missed it. I don't know what I was thinking, but I missed. So I got three one year, and then I got four all the rest. And then so what I would do is I would shoot for sure 16 birds throughout the season, because I did hunt fall. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you're crazy about it like I am, I mean, any chance I get, and if I had a deer tag and a turkey came by, I would always have a turkey tag. And trust me, feathers would fly. I don't care what size. I mean, beautiful deer behind you, but a bearded hen sitting out in front of me. And oh, trust me, Karens, don't comment, because it's okay to shoot one hen every once in a while. So anyway, but that's the gist. I got four slams for a long time. The reservation down here, which is a sovereign nation, because I've already been questioned by that, by the Florida Fish and Wildlife, they came to me when they saw a picture with me with two birds, because back then you could only get one bird a day. And they said, we're going after you. And I said, it's a sovereign nation. You don't have any jurisdiction. They came after me, and I had been friends at putting on Jake's Day in conjunction with the FWC. Mm-hmm. And they're like, we're just doing our job. And I said, fine, do your job. But Indian reservations are a sovereign nation. So anyway, I took several off the Seminole reservation. That place, I'm glad, is now closed, and there's absolutely no hunting on the reservation now for any non-tribal member. Because if a rich guy came in, and they did like 15 birds a spring, but if a rich guy came in, he could buy 15 birds for 10 years and take the lead and never look back, you know?
Right.
So yeah. Anyway. But it is weird. But thanks for asking that question. But because I do like to keep it above board, everything above board, because I've been asked, I mean, I've been yelled at NWTF, you're a liar. And I'm like, man, you know, God bless you. That's all I can say is God bless you, and just do what I do, because I'm confident, and I got somebody that fights my battles for me.
Yeah.
Just leave it to him.
Love it. Yeah. And then so there's another thing that I've read about you, which is called the Super Slam? Which is, you have killed a turkey in every single state that turkeys exist in, which is 49, if I'm not mistaken.
49. Yep.
And that's called the Super Slam, is that right?
That's a Super Slam. So I've killed a tom out of every – I made that very clear at the beginning of it that I want to – and I, again, I will never knock anybody if they're doing things legal if they're doing what makes them happy. If it's legal to shoot a hen in the fall and they go out with a shotgun and shoot a hen or a jake or whatever they do, if that makes them happy and that's legal, I am all for them. I say, welcome to the club. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. For me, I said, I wanted to shoot a tom out of every state. And that's what I did.
So that's awesome.
49. I finished. That bird right there is an Arizona tom. And I haven't done the DNA, but I will. It'll be more affordable. But I'll bet my bottom dollar. I'll bet that I won't turkey hunt if I'm wrong, that has Gould's blood in him, because I knew it was my 49th. I got him with the bow. I wanted it to be special. And it dwarfs any other Miriam that I've gotten. So it's pretty cool.
This is huge.
It's cool. So there's a Miriam from Arizona. There's an Osceola, inch and 15/16 spurs, my biggest spurred bird from here in Florida. There is a Maine bird. He's bent over like that because he's got five beards. He scored 112 points. My biggest bearded bird lengthwise. And then there's a Oklahoma Rio. Again, my biggest Rio I've shot. So I was fortunate when I was in the top. I wanted to get one good representative, and they are the biggest of each of the subspecies that I've ever killed. And there's a bearded hen right down there bottom.
Yep.
Because I'm ate up with bearded hens, and I've taken quite a few. Anyway, that was a Kansas Rio. I took her, and anyway, it was legal. It says, because the laws say beard in most states, they say bearded birds. So that's what I stick to.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. It's just crazy how like ate up you can become with a certain thing. Right. And how, like, the one thing I was going to ask you is, you've killed, you know, well, if I just did the basic math of 117 grand slams, that's four birds each time. You know, at this point in your career, you've killed thousands of turkeys, I'm assuming, right? Because you've not always gotten grand slams when you first started hunting, and you're also a guide. So you're also a part of a lot of hunts where a turkey is killed that it's not your tag, it's the person you're taking. So how has the passion, since you started hunting turkeys in 1989, I believe is what you said, until 2025, how has that passion continued? Is it just like the first time you've ever went every time, or has there been a little bit of an evolution in the way that you view it since you've started, or is it just like the first day every time still to you?
It's definitely not the first day, but, and I don't know what came first, the chicken or the egg, but I knew. So when I was in college, I took off a year. And so I had some buddies that had graduated in front of me, and one of them called me, and I was, so he was a year out, and he goes, "Hey man, I'm selling some of my guns. You interested?" And I go, "Why would you do that?" And he said, "Oh, my wife doesn't want me to hunt anymore." And it was like, if you could have seen the light bulb go ding. And I said, "I'm going to make a living at hunting so my wife can never tell me no." And I mean, I literally, when I was young, little, somebody said, "Don't mess with me until I have my coffee." Ding. I've never had a sip of coffee in my life. I will never have anything Same. That controls me.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, that was it. So anyway, I have learned, I mean, I honestly sort of feel bad for sometimes turkeys, because when I do get my own personal time, so I have two turkeys left to get this spring. We close on Sunday. I've got a buddy that's in the woods now. I hunted with him this morning, and we didn't have anything working, and I needed to go. I just got back from a jet grand slam. We did a jet. It was a whole other story, but it was not too many times you get to get on a jet with a private pilots and all that, and go just land and go bink, bink, bink around the country. And I mean, it's just amazing.
No, it sounds
so
awesome.
I just got back. So I get my, he's got a bird and I've got a bird. And I want to get one pretty close. I want to touch him with a 410. That's my goal with my last one. But so I make it tougher on me. And you know, like the guys, so one of the guys that I took, he's 80 years old. He's been everywhere in the world. And, you know, most guys do their research. They've got their bucket list and they're like, "Who? If I'm going to do this, who am I going to go with?" And pretty quickly, instantly, unfortunately, online, anything negative will come up at the top of the list, because that gets all the oxygen in the room. And there's nothing about me doing anything negative with people, hunters, properties, landowners, whatever. So we have fun. But this is a guy that talks about shooting a Cape buffalo with a muzzle burn on the nose of the Cape buffalo. I mean, like, just stories of stuff. And yesterday morning when he finished, got the Rio, and it was just like, I mean, to be a part and me give him a hug and say, "Mr. Tom, welcome to the club." And, you know, we get back yesterday, we landed back in Florida, and he texts me last night. And this is a guy that does what, and he texts me, he says, "Jeff, I just want to thank you again." Cause that's, I mean, I literally, my hairs are standing up just saying these words of him saying, you know, "Thank you so much." I read it to my wife, cause as you know, the wives take a lot of the brunt. And I said, and I told her last night, and I said, I want you to know how hard, I realize how hard it is on you while I'm gone, because she does all the heavy lifting. But here, read this. And she's been with me. Yeah. When we started dating, I said, "You are going to go on a grand slam hunt with me." She never killed a turkey. And I said, "I want you to experience it. I want you to see it, smell it, live it. And then I want you to be as well with a couple of my clients so you can understand why I do and how I do and with whom I do what I do."
Yeah.
And she understands it. That doesn't make it easy when she's up early and dealing with the kids all the time and doing all the chores. But anyway, so the answer to your question is, for me to be a part of literally making dreams come true, and tears and hugs and bonds that are forged that'll never be broken. And now, you know, I waited late to get married, 51 for that joker, and 52 to have my son, and he shot his first turkey, and everybody, and I'm not taking it against anybody, because I get information sent to me all the time of a 4-year-old, and I'd say congratulations. Now, I know with my kid at 4, he's sticking crayons in his nose. Am I going to trust him with a gun?
No.
There's no way.
Yeah.
He's 6 and a half. He lives, eats, and sleeps. He's off school tomorrow, and he'll go with me tomorrow, hopefully, if I get my last bird, Osceola. And he is, I mean, these kids now, his eyes, I guarantee you he can spot something before I do, because he's ate up with it. And yeah. Anyway, so now I live vicariously through others. When I get a chance, unfortunately, it's not a hunt, it's a kill, because I only have such little time by myself. I mean, I can count the days in the woods that I hunt by myself. I've had one day this spring. We opened, his first hunt was February 22nd. It's April 17th. So almost 2 months in, and so I'm 55 days on the season, and I've got one morning hunt by myself.
By yourself.
Yeah. And I had a turkey come close. And another subject is reaping, which those Karens, they can just hold your comments because I don't care because it's legal. So the net is I want to get a grand slam this year by touching Tom, having him come up, and I'm going to touch him with the 410 and go boom.
Yeah. And have you heard of – there's this hilarious guy. He's got an Instagram account, and I forget his name. He does, like, funny videos, and he dresses up like a little deer, and he'll have, like, deer, and he'll be like, hey, what's up, man? Why are you trying to shoot me? Well, he just did a turkey one, and it was a reaping one, and it was a turkey coming in. The guy was reaping, and then another guy comes in. I think his name's Skyler is this guy's name, but another guy comes in. He's like, what are you doing, man? You're ruining it by reaping. And then they get to arguing. He's like, wait a minute. If I was a turkey, at least I'm dying coming into a fight. Like, I think I'm going to fight somebody. You're killing him by making him think he's about to get laid. At least, you know, he's dying all pissed off instead of thinking he's about to get laid. And the other guy's like, well, that's a good point. I just thought it was a funny, hilarious little video. But like I said, I don't care because I don't really, turkey hunt. But
Like you. So then where's the line? Where's the line? No camouflage, no ammunition, no weapons, no decoys. I mean, have you put out a decoy before for your – I know you're passionate with coyotes. I've got a little rabbit thing on a remote control that zips around.
Right.
I've had a deer decoy. I took a blind guy out. I put a deer decoy out in front of me. I kid you not. You can't make this stuff up. He goes, what's that noise? I go, the buck mounted the decoy.
Yep.
And he shoulders the weapon. He looks through the scope. I'd already sighted it in. And I said, up, right, left, shoot. Boom! Goes through the deer, hits the decoy, 8-point buck. He was a little basket rack. But to take a grown man that lost his eyesight, that was raised hunting for that, those kind of moments are what I live for.
So it's kind of like you're living vicariously through, you know, you had that first feel in 1989. And ever since then, now that you're a guide, that's kind of like you're living vicariously through those people experiencing that for the first time, experiencing things for the first time.
To me, that adrenaline and emotion is like electricity, and it literally goes right to me, and it's unbelievable.
That's cool. Yeah, that's really cool. No, and you're right. I mean, I'm the same way. You said this earlier, but you know, I didn't pay for your tag. I should have nothing to say about how you use it. As long as you're doing it legally and ethically, I don't really give a fuck. It's yours, right? And so that's kind of how I feel with reaping, you know. And of course, the turkey hunting community is its own community, just like the coyote hunting community is its own little thing. And I get that. And I know there's big fighting between what should we reap, shouldn't we? But if you're doing it the right way and you like doing it, it gets the blood pumping. Shut up. It's not your. I mean, you don't get an opinion. It's my. My tag, my hunt, I will do it the way I want to do it. So I understand that. So that's a good point too. But so do you think that this is hard to say because you didn't get to live it, but do you think that you would still be as passionate as you are today about turkey hunting if you didn't start guiding? Like, when did you start guiding? What year do you remember?
Boy, I've guided. I started off in Kansas in 96. So, I mean, helping out a guy start up a business there. So I've always been, whether it's for money or not, I've always been taking people because I'm just not bashful. I mean, if I go down, I'm going to go down swinging. I'm not going to go down and just go, I wish I would have, da-da-da-da-da. So I've always been gung-ho, and people sort of come to me and like, okay, lead the show. Let's go. And again, what came first, chicken or the egg? I don't know. It is what it is now. But If I wasn't making a living off of it, well, I did. So what is it? 2013 is when I really broke away. I had a more of a business job, and I took some time off, and it sort of slowed me, my outdoor stuff down. It was good financially, but I found myself behind a computer, ended up with, when I left in 13, at 43 employees, and I couldn't be a boss anymore because I don't care about your car. I don't care about your boyfriend. I don't care about your dog. If you want more money, you should have stayed in school. Okay? So now get to work. You don't get a signing bonus. You don't get extra days off. If you don't work, you don't get paid. So I'm much better off with no employees and just doing what I do than all that. But even then, I took off and I did hunt quite a bit, but it slowed down from 2008, 5 years, 2008 to 2013. Boy, it really slowed down, but
yeah.
I'm here.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I kind of get the same feeling. We take people, we don't, I guess, you know, get paid for it either, but we take people thermal hunting because thermal hunting in Missouri has only been legal for 4 years now. So, you know, it's kind of still new in our area for coyotes. And so there's a lot of people that still don't have them, and we like to take people, you know, and the first time they see one. We took a kid this year. He actually was the landowner's grandson who lived at that house, and I called him to tell him we were on our way just to let him know that there was going to be a truck with four dudes with rifles in it, you know, popping out at midnight. And he's like, hey, thanks for calling. I said, hey, if you want to come out with us, you know, walk, come on out. And he said, okay. So he comes out with us. There's five grown men in a cut bean field, full moon, and we do not have a backdrop. So we are sticking out like a sore thumb. And I'm, this whole time I'm thinking we are not going to see a coyote and this kid's not going to see anything. We start calling and six coyotes or a handful of coyotes reply to us about 600 yards away. And I'm like, sweet. And a couple minutes later, they're 400 yards away. And about that time, two trucks pull into the field and they pick up the anhydrous tanks that they had sprayed that day in that field, and they just light the field up, backlight us, everything. And I thought, well, this is over. You know, I shut the call off. Let's just be quiet. These coyotes aren't going to come in now. These guys grab their trucks and they leave. And about a minute after they leave, the coyotes sound off again. And so long story short, I get the coyotes to come into 100 yards and we kill a double. And this kid got to watch the whole thing. And I gave him my scanner, and so he got to see us shoot him, you know. And I said, what'd you think of that? And he's like, that was awesome. And so, you know, that was a kid who wasn't even expecting to go coyote hunting that night. And we just were like, hey, we're going to be here. You're awake. Why don't you come out and walk out in the field with us? And, you know, all the things against us that should not have killed a coyote but did – you know, I think, you know, gave him a memory that hopefully will get him to get into it next year, and hope maybe he'll go get one and start hunting. So that's kind of the name of the game is, you know, getting more people into it, and whether it's coyote hunting or turkey hunting or whatever. But so you've killed coyotes, or not coyotes, you've probably killed coyotes, but turkeys everywhere, every state that they are legal in. The only state they're not in is Hawaii, right? Am I right about that?
Alaska.
Oh, I was wrong. Just too cold up there? I would have figured they could make it up there, just too much.
Yeah, just not the ag that enough to, you know, they have such a short growing period. So yeah. They say there's no turkeys in Alaska. It's the only state I haven't been to, and I'm afraid to go up there because I know I'll fall in love with it, the outdoorsman's paradise.
Yep.
And I got a little bit more of a obligation down here now, and I need to stay. And but yeah, I have a friend up there. He keeps threatening, or I keep threatening to go visit him. So anyway, one of these days, so I can say it, I've hunted legally and successfully hunted in every state in the country.
Yeah, that's cool. So okay, I got some questions about turkeys now and states, but we're going to start with turkeys. And this is kind of it's twofold question, but do you have a favorite species that you like to hunt? Or subspecies, I guess we'll call
Miriams.
It. You like Miriams the best?
Subspecies, Miriam.
What about
Miriams
them?
By far.
What about them makes you like them the best?
because they're dumb and there's such a much higher success rate. But for me, you know, I'm a cross country runner and I love to move and go, and I've accumulated thousands of acres of property, and I can drive. I could count on one hand, probably, the time. Okay, so two, not ever by myself, but with clients or somebody else that needs to, that I've sat in a blind. I rarely go out and sit down and wait. I'll go to a spot and stand on a ridge and say, there he is, let's go. But it's not like Eastern hunting, like you go and they scout a bird, and like your brother-in-law at the time wasn't, but he was like, I know he's sort of in this area. You go in and you sit down in your tree and he's right there and let's call him to you. You might move a little bit, but it's sort of a different scenario out west because there's the topography, the dirt, and I use that to my advantage. I never let him see me. I get around him, and it's just moving and shaking the whole time, and I love it. And I've got thousands of acres and birds galore. We were there Tuesday morning, Kentucky Monday, South Dakota Tuesday, Colorado/Nebraska on Wednesday yesterday, and you know, we woke up, there's still winter flocked out there, and there was 250 birds gobbling. I've got a video, and the moon's up in the corner, and they're in the huge cottonwood tree and lined birds, 300 birds. They start gobbling, and I stopped it at 21 seconds. It never stopped. All the way back and forth. It was truly amazing. So for several reasons, and you know, and then I leave there. It's so tough because that's my last hunt, and I leave there May 17th, 18th, and I wake up in the morning, and you're out listening. They're flying down at 5, so you're, you know, it's early mornings, and it's 30s, 40s, and then I come back here, and it's already in end of May, and it's third week in May, and it's, you wake up, and it's 86,
yeah,
it gets to 90.
With 100% humidity.
Like, yeah. Oh, it's brutal.
So Miriams are your favorite. What are the hardest subspecies to hunt? Do you, like, is there one that, like, these are smarter birds, they're just better, they're harder to hunt?
So I say it, scale from 1 to 10. A Miriam is a 1, a Rio is a 2, Osceola is a, we'll call it a 5, and an Eastern is a 12.
Now what about Easterns make them so hard to hunt? Like, what do you think?
Well, and I'll put an asterisk by that. Southeastern United States Easterns, because I had incredible lease. Kansas went to draw, but I had incredible property that touched the river right there, north and south of Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And they were off. They were legal Easterns. And I, it was awesome. They were nothing like Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, South Carolina. If you tell me you're killing, and if I had to pick the hardest state, it'd probably be Alabama. And I don't know if those guys hunt year round. I don't want to get any enemies, but man, those birds, they're, if you hear a gobble once, the next time you hear that gobble, he gone, he's going the other way, you know, and you just go, oh my gosh. I mean, the worst thing is hearing no gobbles.
Sure.
The next worst thing is hearing the gobble go away from you and gobbling and laughing the whole time.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the sort of the range of how I, from 0 to 12.
Yeah, and I'd heard that before. I don't remember who else we've had on the show before. I can't remember who it was, but they talked about Easterns being the hardest. And, you know, I always wondered why. And, of course, you know, the topography for an Eastern, a lot of thicker, you know, thicker woods. They can disappear quickly, you know, ravines, things like that for them to be up and out and be done. But that's kind of cool. So you've already answered this before we recorded, but my next one is, what is your favorite state to hunt turkeys in?
South Dakota! Exclamation point.
And it,
because
the all of the above that you just talked about. Yeah.
The exact same reason is, if to me, it's my, you talk about, and you know, Christian and God and your thin place. And that's my thin place. I mean, it is just Oh my gosh, it's my thin place by far.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can understand that. I got a few buddies that go up to somewhere in Nebraska every year, and he kind of talks about it the same way. It's, you know, rolling hills, and it's just you can see them, but then you can't get to them, but then you can if you're smart about it. And, you know, it's just I think anywhere that's, for me, anywhere that's different than where you're from, there's something magical about it, I feel like. And, you know, like for coyote hunting, I want to go out west really bad and see a coyote running in from a mile away. Because where I hunt now, we don't see that because everything's close. Your furthest shot's 400 yards tops. You know, most shots are within 100 yards. And so usually the coyotes are just there and they're on top of you before you know it. Whereas, you know, out west you can call them in across a huge, you know, field that's half a mile wide and just watch them running. And so it's kind of like that magical, mystical thing that you're not used to because you don't live there. And, you know, I could definitely see that with South Dakota. That'd be kind of cool. Okay, so another thing I was reading about you is this turkey competition. Now, I don't know the name, so you'll have to help me with it. But talk about this turkey competition that you started this year. And you know, kind of the basics about it and what it is and, you know, how it's going to go, I guess, moving forward. Cause we had talked about next year. So, let's talk about that.
So I've been involved with different turkey competitions and Bobby Pinson had one down in Kansas, which was a great one. It just went under, or he just stopped doing it, got busy doing other stuff. But, I did one last year with Tall Timbers. It's in Southeast. It's called the Georgia Florida Invitational. All the big high end plantation folks come in and it's sort of, there's no money involved. Well, they raise $100,000 for wildlife and you get a cup, the winners get a cup, whatever, but went in there and hadn't been in. And honestly, rare are you going to look at binoculars and look at spurs. I tried, finally the bird was going and I said, boom, shot him. Ended up of 100 teams, 100 two-man teams, so 200 possible birds, and ended up winning the thing. But it got my head thinking because I think way too much, ask my wife. And and it's part of why I can drive, get in the car and drive to Nebraska 32 hours straight because my head just spins of ideas of what I'm going to do. And I said, man, I love the idea of going in and having a competition and going out and hunting when you want, where you want, and the logistics of, because I knew and talked to Bobby a lot about the properties and all this moderators, people, the police had to be with each contestant. So I said, I've got to start something. And a good buddy of mine said, more. And I went, what? And he said, more. Miriam Osceola Rio Eastern. So more turkeys. So my logo is the, you know, the more symbol. So a turkey foot turns sideways and that's highlighted. So more turkeys is the name. So the website, and again, I know what I'm good at and I know what I'm not good at. And I'm not good at writing code and making computers information websites / competition stuff that you can go click, click, enter, and it sends automated stuff. And that's way over my head. So I started it this year, didn't get the traction because I literally started in February, late February. I'm doing it right now for next year. So right. The net is there's four divisions, M-O-R-E, Miriam Osceola Rio Eastern, 200 people in each division, $350 to get in it, and you hunt any legal bird. That's it. You want to hunt it with a rifle? You want to go to Hawaii? You want to go hunt in June? You're going to go to Maine, Massachusetts, or Michigan. Okay? So it starts with youth. This year was February 22nd, and it ends in June, whatever the Sunday is, the 6th or whatever. And then we'll have a big awards at the end. But you have to, so when you sign up, you put a photo ID, put all your information. and it's pretty slick, and it's humming along. So when you kill, you have to take two videos and then several, four pictures or five, whatever. But your first video is when you kill, you have to video yourself holding a floppy bird. And everybody knows the difference of a floppy bird and a bird that's, because yeah, within 30 minutes, he's already lethargic. And I mean, coagulated and is not moving. So all I want is you, a floppy bird, and the surroundings real quick. Then you hit end. I mean, when I say it's a 15-second limit, it could be 10 or less. And then you go to your screenshot. Hunt Stand is the app I use. They're a sponsor, and you get a free membership with it with signing up. But you go to Hunt Stand, and it shows your blue dot, and everybody's like, oh, I don't want to tell you where I am. My blue dot, if you look at it, it shows the Atlantic Ocean, and it shows the Gulf of America. And there's a blue dot that shows you in the middle of Florida. That's it, with the same time stamp. And then you do a video of your scale hanging from a tree. It zeroed out. You reach up and put the turkey on it, and you show the scale again, and it shows whatever, 18 pounds, 18.2. You take it off, and it zeroes again, and you show yourself, and that's it. And then you show your little scale, your measure next to each spur, and then the beard. So the screenshot, beard, spur, four pictures, two videos. You hit submit anytime that day. You harvest the bird, and you sit back and wait. I want it to be fun. Payouts are it's $50,000 payout for each division. So
wow,
there's 7,000 for first place. There's nothing that's ever been like this ever even thought of. So of the four divisions, there's 205,000 up to 2,005,000. 2,005, my attorney said I have to say up to, because the one asterisk, the whole thing is, if I don't sell out a division, then I don't pay out all the money. But if I pay out, if I get 200 contestants registered for each division, any one division, if I do the full Easterns will fill up the first.
Mm-hmm.
Miriams or Rios will probably be the toughest. But the Easterns, once they fill up the 200, first place is $7,000. Second, and it goes like $500 increments to get to the $50,000. And then I go place 12 through 22 is a free entry for next year. And then, so I go $205,000, the extra $5,000. So $50,000 per division. And then a $5,000 bonus for the biggest all-around bird that's killed. And it's NWTF scoring, one times the weight, two times the longest one hair, no multiple beards. Like that one's 112 points. No, with his longest beard, he'd score, 65, mm-hmm, 70. And then 10 times the total spur length. So I want it to be fair for everybody. I want every Tom, Dick, and Harry that has a little property that has never hunted outside of his county. And I hear all the horror stories, these people. There was one in Wyoming. So now I get feedback, more and more feedback. Oh, are you going to be like that one? There's one in Wyoming, and some just average Joe shows up. He's handed a map. Here's the property you're going to hunt. He's like, all right. He goes out there, hunts for 3 days, never even sees a turkey. And then he goes back, and we all have our ears on, and you hear about the guys that got to camp at 10 o'clock the first day, and they're just waiting for their money, and they killed their birds. And they're like, oh, we had 10 toms on our property plus all these other hens and jakes. Well, it turns out they had a TV show, and they had this and that, and they were just sort of handed one of the best properties. So I don't want to play those games. And honestly, I say, and in life, and us being whatever we are, if you say, I'm doing this for you, we're really doing it for ourselves. Whether you're giving a present, a grandmother, to the grandkid, she's really, the joy she gets, that's really truly
right,
for her.
Right.
This, I say, oh, it's for the hunter. I want him to have a fair chance. Honestly, I'm doing it for me, because I don't want the logistical nightmare of having to worry about all the properties, all the hunters, all this. So then the next and last question is, people will say, well, how do you know that they're telling the truth? Well, it says in the rules, which I tried to make it They're all written by me, not some crazy attorney. They're quick bullet points. Right. Boom, 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 boom. But it says by signing up for this competition, you are fully aware that you, if you are paid money, you will pass a virtual lie detector test. I have a company. It'll look exactly like we're doing right now. Split screen, and they do it off of retinal recognition. I'll be on it as well with the interrogator, investigator, whatever they're called. It says if you don't pass, if you fail, I'll give you a second chance. If you don't pass two, I'm sorry, but you're going to go out. Everybody moves up a spot. I gain nothing by kicking out fourth place. But
yeah, fifth place, all you really fourth, do is piss the guy off. I mean, so yeah, you just got to have some sort of integrity. Yeah.
That, and you nailed it. That's awesome, because that's all I want is integrity with the competition. And, you know, I and then at the bottom of that, and it says I'll pay $2,500, because there's nothing like a scorned girl or friend that you piss off a year later. And he goes, Hey Jeff, you know that Joe Blow cheated last year, and this is how. And I go, hey, Joe Blow, you happen to pass that lie detector because obviously you're a pathological liar or however you do it. But now you signed off on it. Now you're going to give me the money back. You're going to pay the $2,500 money that I paid to the person that turned you in. And you're going to pay any legal fees that associated with this. I'm not going to get one penny out of it. And it says that I'm not, if somebody cheats, it taints everything, and I hate that. So I just want to make sure that because I know cheaters. I'm sure all of us know cheaters.
Sure.
And they think they'll get away with it. And all I can say is, you know, I'm going to do everything I can. And alone, the video, the showing that stuff, I try and put some fail-proof steps in there, but there's always somebody that's going to come up with something that, you know, whenever you get money involved, I hate that. And then somebody else will say, you know, I get all these haters that, oh, this is a bounty. You're paying bounties. And the one question I say, okay, so of 200 people, one bird each, four divisions, that's 800 birds, okay? And so I say, my question to you is, how many of those birds would not be killed if these guys would enter? Wouldn't have, if I didn't have this competition, and they go,
probably none of them. They all would have hunted still.
I never say never, but I say of 800 birds that are going to be hopefully registered, I'd say 795 birds will be killed, because all the people that did sign up, I didn't get any full. And I said, okay, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to do all this asterisks and all this other stuff. So I just said, okay, we're not doing it this year. It's easy enough to do that. But everybody's like, the people, it's like anything in life. The haters try and take all the oxygen out of the room. And the people that are for things, it's easier just not to say anything, as conservatives, as, you know, I'm a Christian conservative hunter. Okay, that's what I am. And now we are learning and the last few years, no, we do have a voice, and we are going to band together, and we are going to fight for our rights, because it's our rights. And so anyway, and then they go, well, okay, so five birds. So you're making all this up because somebody might go out but I just don't. And honestly, you said 800, and I think the number truly would be 800, but I say 795.
I mean, if you think about it, like most of the people that are probably, you know, I would say 100% of the people that are going to sign up for this competition are serious turkey hunters, which means whether they were in this competition or not, they were going to go out turkey hunting. And once again, if they signed up for the competition, they probably think they can win it. So they're good turkey hunters most of the time. So I would say about 100% of the people that enter the competition was going to kill a turkey no matter what. So yeah, that kind of throws that theory out the window, but that's really cool. We do coyote tournaments here, you know, which are similar. I mean, they're smaller scale. They're not national. And, you know, even in small coyote tournaments that have 100 teams that enter, you're going to have people try to cheat. And you know, they have similar rules. You got to shake a dog. You got to show the different team members that are on the team. And, you know, they make it harder, but they're still, you know, whenever there's money involved, unfortunately, there's going to be people that try to cheat the system, and which is unfortunate, because I'll be honest with you, you know, like a coyote tournament in our area, you might be able to win a couple thousand dollars depending on which one. And is it really worth your integrity to win a couple grand? Do you really need the money that bad? And his name's Jesse. He's one of a friend of ours that runs a tournament. He's like, if you really need the money that bad, ask me. I'll just give it to you. Don't cheat my tournament so that you can win, you know, $2,000. It's just not worth it. But people still do it. So that's cool. Okay. Last question I got for you. I would be yelled at by our listeners if I didn't ask you at least one question that had to do with strategy. So if you were talking to a newer turkey hunter, what's the biggest piece of advice you would give them to help them kill a bird this year?
It's the easiest thing to say. It is get all the information you can. Take a step back. When I talked to my buddy who came down to hunt, we hunted, we didn't hear anything. And I said, okay, so here the locals are. I said 80% of the activity around here from these local ranchers or whoever permission, 80% of it is from fly down to 8:30. Okay. Now they got to get to their job. They got to go, da, 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 80%. 15% is in the afternoon, the last 2 hours. Okay. So there's 95% of the activity. I said, you're going to go. And showed him where I know the birds come. If you just sit, I said, I hate to turn it into a deer hunt, but you're going to sit here. We made a blind with palmettos and stuff. I said, you sit here and it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Okay. So pay attention, stay out of their way, do your job when it's time to do your job. Okay. But besides that, and it goes back to what I just said, do what everybody else doesn't do. So when I travel, I'm so successful because no is not in my vocabulary. I mean, if I see a no trespassing sign, I killed one of my biggest elk at the time because I saw a herd out of this alfalfa in Colorado, and there was a sign and it said, you know, like, no, absolutely no entry, no trespassing, no hunting, no nothing, trespasser shot, blah, blah, survivor shot again. I went right up there and I was like, hello, sir. Oh. And he's like, I go, can I protect your alfalfa from those elk? And he looked out and he goes, oh, go get him. You know, you can't be afraid. Don't fail sitting next to a tree waiting. So anyway, I go out way early. I'm out there sitting for 45 minutes before I even think I'm going to hear a gobble. I put out, I have an Instagram, more.turkeys, or Facebook, more.turkeys. And you'll see with my son, I've got 12 decoys out. People are like, one of my things, oh, nice goose spread. And so anyway, I do what people do. I call more. I travel more. More decoys. Sit longer if I need to. Everything I do to the nth degree, but I do what most people don't, you know? So that's what, and then a quick setup. I always put a hen on the ground. I put the Jake above her. So if any Tom with any kind of backbone or testosterone, he sees that and he goes, I cut the beard off my fan. I usually cut the feathers off, so it looks like a Jake fan. If I could put a real fan in my strutter decoy, but I want to get inside. If you can get inside your adversary's brain, you've got the advantage. What is that advantage? 49-51, 90-10? I don't know. I want the advantage of everything I'm doing. When I go in and my wife's got her arms on and she's tapping her foot, I go, uh-oh, we got to either run or turn this around really quick.
She's got the advantage.
She's got the advantage.
Yeah, we've all had that happen. We all know that feeling. You're in big trouble unless you figure it out real quick.
Big trouble.
That's awesome. Well, Jeff, you just gave everybody how they can follow you on social media. So on Facebook and Instagram. Do you do any YouTube or anything like that?
I have a YouTube, More Turkeys. I'm just, you know, I'm a crusty old codger and just getting caught up with all this stuff. And I'm working at it. It's on my list to do more of all kinds of stuff. But yes, I do have Instagram. It's fledgling. I've really been working at my YouTube, my Instagram, and my more on Facebook. I've been trying to plug away at that and put a daily post on there. Doing a lot of kills now. But we're slowing down out of this season. I'll probably do some more instructional for the next few weeks. As everybody's season is getting ramped up north, we're ending here, and then I reposition to go out west, and then it's full swing out there.
Right. So. Well, awesome, man. I appreciate you so much coming on. Since I saw this on an article, it's Field and Stream. I guess they did an article on you in 2021. So I'm going to call Jeff Buds the Slam Man, and that's what I'm going to go with. So, Jeff Buds, thanks so much for coming on and talking about your passion of chasing those turkeys out there.
All right, buddy. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Time is valuable. That's why Lowe's Blueprint Takeoffs turn blueprints into quotes faster. Bring us your plans, and we'll generate itemized material lists to make quoting easier so you can get back to building. Plus, at the Lowe's Pro Desk, you get access to thousands of building materials not sold in store. And when your order's ready, we'll deliver everything to the job site. Improving is easy at Lowe's.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.